Coming back folks of America and live from the G&D Show Studios, this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Yes, indeed. Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter.
That would be me.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know, just sitting around here asking the Ouija board whether or not, what's going to happen on tonight's show.
Hey, guys, special thanks
That's
to all our homes.
That's how we prepare.
Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know, so check them out at actionaudioapps.com. And our buddies in Canada, Paranormal A Radio. Thanks, guys, for being so very cool, huh? Yeah. Hey, and I wanted to get this out right off the bat tonight for our new listeners and listeners around the world. The Shadow Nation is what we refer to our longtime listeners. The SYL Project. Check them out, SYLproject.com. Give some love today. Join your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. It's a real good cause, guys. It's for cancer survivors, people in need right now. They get together, they raise money, they put together gifts, things that are little pick-me-ups in these people's everyday lives. Think about how many times somebody does something good for you. And, we don't know what they're suffering with at home. You know, people who survive cancer, people going through cancer. So go to the SYL Project today and join your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show and spreading some love in the world.
There you go. Hey, you know where they can find the link to that SYL Project, Sean?
Where can they find it at?
At www.ghostanddemon.com. That's right, ghostanddemon.com. ghostanddemon. That's our website, Sean.
Take a breath. Magic 8-Ball.
Hey, I went to broadcasting school. I can talk like this for hours and 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 hours.
That's good. The 8-Ball says, concentrate and ask again.
Oh, okay.
You know, for you guys just tuning in.
The Ouija just says no.
Hear that? It's the broken Magic 8-Ball that we got in studio. What has it been, about 5 years ago, Nathan?
Was it that long ago?
I think so. And it just started working tonight.
It must be communicating with the Ouija.
Yeah, it said you have you practice broadcasting and over. And it said, think about it again and re-ask.
Go back to school, learn a trade.
Stay in school, kid. Yeah. Anyway, guys, once again, welcome back. Sunday nights, we do the show every Sunday night. This is the one and only Mystifying Oracle Radio. We call ourselves that because
this is our life, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. We cover everything from the paranormal, horror genre. Well, what else do you think we cover, Nathan? Anything strange or weird, man? Groovy.
We cover anything strange or weird, historic, scientific, educational, entertaining.
Educational.
I'm a broadcaster with a stutter.
You almost mispronounced educational.
Well, I couldn't read, so.
Well, I guess not. This broadcast is getting in your way.
It is.
Anyway.
I listened too much radio as a child.
You probably did. You probably did while you were playing. Did you ever play hooky? Did you play hooky a lot when you was growing up?
I honestly think I played hooky a total of about 4 times in my life.
Really?
Yeah. They were between my freshman and my junior year of high school. And whenever they would have a pep rally or, anything where there was a group being called to the auditoriums where you knew they didn't take attendance.
Yeah.
I'd slip out through the lower hallway, go out through F level and out the back doors and head on down to my buddy's house. And we'd just hang out there and play video games. And
see, I did
Atari.
It all.
We'd play tanks on Atari.
Yeah. I did it all the time. That's all I cared about was playing hooky from school and playing with Star Wars.
And playing doctor with the girls.
Well, I didn't always get to do that, but when I could, it was a special treat. Yes, it still is to this day, ladies. So, any takers, I like to pay doctor. Anyway, we already gave a shout-out, paid all our bills up front. We'll pay them at the end of the show again. What is going on this week on your side of town, Nathan?
Well, you know what's funny, Sean, is I never tell people where I work.
You don't?
I don't because I'm a broadcaster, and you never know if I'm going to say something here on the air going to piss off my bosses.
Oh! See, we had Danny Fogler on the week before last, and he cussed online. So now you think, oh, it's just nilly-willy. We just throw it out the door there.
Yes, well, I'll bleep myself out. Here, let me cut that out.
We're live.
Oh, right.
You
got 8
it.
Seconds. Oh, no, time's up.
To the moon! Yeah.
It's
all right. A little real life.
But, I never tell anybody where I work, because if I say something that might annoy or aggravate or maybe anger my current employer, I don't want him to connect it to the radio show.
Right.
So I never say where I work. But so nobody knows where I work now, but I am leaving my job.
Yay!
To go find another job that will allow me more time to broadcast, Sean.
Yeah. Well, you got that creepy horror host voice. You need to take that on. Like Sammy Terry, we had him on Golden Oldie. Of course, Sammy's passed away now, but he was my local late night horror host guys here on WTTV4 in Indianapolis, Indiana. Used to come on every Friday night, and he would go with his rubber spider. Yeah, you remember. He used to come on with his rubber spider and his yellow dishwashing gloves. I was scared to death, man. I loved it. My cousin was a puss, though. He would always hide behind the couch. I could at least watch it, you know. But he did, Sammy passed away, or it was Bob Carter. He came on the show, about 5 years ago, and he passed away a couple years back, right?
Yeah, and it was it wasn't a shock, but it was definitely a sad day when we all found out.
It was sudden, man. Yeah, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. But you had a horror host. Everybody has a horror host, man, that they grew up with or loved. They actually have a thing on Twitter that says save the horror host now. I guess there's a big thing going on in the community where they're trying to bring back the live, which, you know, we've had our buddy on the show in the past, Sven Gulli.
Sven Gulli.
Yeah, he's one of the longest lasting horror hosts. Well, at least has his own TV show still. All over the country. What an amazing guy. I guess he just turned, I don't know if it's 58 or 60. Couple weeks ago. Yeah, I seen it on the Twitter. Like our buddy Dan Fogler said, I'm on the Twitter all the time. Hey, special thanks to all our new Shadow Nation listeners, friends of ours on Twitter this week. We had a huge outpouring. A lot of friends come in, giving a lot of support for the show. So thanks, guys. We hope you're in chat. I don't know if we're having a problem now because I can't see the chat or the live viewing box. Could just be
online. Well, it is the chat room there, Sean. I've got it up on my computer, so it should be working.
Okay.
But the chat room does require Java updates.
So you may
have to update your Java to join the chat room.
You're saying I didn't Javify.
You need it. Anyway. You need to update your Java. You need another cup of Java there.
Another cup of Java. Hey, Demon Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Before we get too off track, because this is ADD Radio.
ADD Radio, where the DJs say whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, all the time.
And not in that order. Shadow Nation! Demon Hunter?
Yes, sir.
Tonight's guest.
Yes.
Yeah. Tonight's guest! He's an American actor and director. He's known for his work on the Fox television series The O.C., Smallville, CSI New York, and most recently, Lifetime smash hit, The Lizzie Borden Chronicles. Tonight, actor-director Bradley Stryker. I just want to say that name. Stryker stops by studio, guys, to tell us all about all these projects past and present and what's going on next for him. Tonight, only at the home of the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. That's right here, guys, in case you didn't know. Actor Bradley Stryker. Smallville, man. Supernatural.
Supernatural. You know I'm going to have Supernatural questions for him.
The cat has been on Supernatural. Need I say more? Anyway, guys, Bradley Stryker. He's also a filmmaker, director. Amazing work. So we'll get into that tonight.
Wasn't it something our old pal Jason Gowan said? If you want people to follow you on the Twitter or...
On the Twitter
or on Facebook, all you have to do is say you appeared on Supernatural, and you'll get like 5,000 followers.
Yeah, but unlike us, we could say that, but Bradley's actually had roles
Up, so. He's a two-timer.
Hey, somebody got a hold of me a couple weeks ago, and they told me, Nathan, and you know, after 9 years, I kind of hit my head against the wall here, because they said, hey, what type of show is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show? They said it's funny as can be, but we can't figure it out. Is it a paranormal show? Is it a, you know, Hollywood show? And maybe you should break that down for him. I just kind of said we're all the above, man. We're everything that rock and rolls, you know, that's in that horror, believe, Sean, dark entertainment.
I do believe that we are an entertainment program focusing on the paranormal and horror genres.
Well, that's, I guess I should have had you return my tweeters. Oh, that's crazy.
Get your tweeters right.
On my Twitter. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we started off as a paranormal show, Sean.
Yeah, we did. How many?
We were one of the first, one of the early ons.
Yeah.
And then we said, this is all fun, but, you know, how far can, how much can we talk about here? So let's spread it out a little bit. Let's talk about everything we love.
Yes.
You know what this show is, Sean?
No,
it's
I don't.
It's a personality
show. That's what I was
asking you. It's you and I, our personalities on the show.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Was that it?
That's it.
Okay.
What kind of show is this? It's a show about two guys.
Oh, yeah? Two guys on the mean streets of, I don't know, the shadows.
Like to do crazy, weird stuff and talk to funny people and scary people and interesting people. And...
Listen, when you were single last night. No, I'm kidding. When you were single, did you ever wish?
That's what I told her.
Did you ever wish? That you wouldn't have to go, you know, out to the clubs and all this stuff to find some hot chick. Did you ever wish that? Did you ever just wish, like most of us guys, you're reading the Playboy and you just wish, you know, thanks a lot, God, she just dropped from the ceiling. You know what I mean? While you're playing your Nintendo.
Well, that's why I placed my order to the Russian Bride Network.
How'd that work for you? She get her green card?
She got a green card. Comrade. Took all my money.
Dang it. Dang you, love. Anyway, guys, robot, you guessed it, sex dolls. Did you hear about this?
Why don't we talk about this?
Well, it's not... I went to... I was looking at topics last night.
Let's remember, I've already messed up once tonight.
Yes, you have. Well, we're going to cover this one, though. Robot sex dolls, guys. Is it unbelievable? Some say no, because it's not. There's an actual website, guys, sexbots.us. Check it out, sexbots.us. That's it. Home of the first true sex robot. So they're not really, you know, pulling any punches there. They're laying it out. That's what they do. It says warning adults only. I'm on the actual site now, guys. It says, you know, by entering the blah, 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 sexually explicit, 18 years or older. So you go there. I'm going to click on it right now. It's got robot boobies. With an X through it or something. It's crazy.
Do you think that there's any coincidence here that this is going on when X Mechanica or McKenna? We're not playing the drinking game yet.
Oh, not yet.
X Mechanna has just come out in the movies, so...
I don't know.
You know, they're taking the opportunity here to put out the robot sex doll...
I don't know.
...advertisements. I don't think things bode well for the... robot woman in Ex Machina. So maybe it would be a poor time to advertise these things.
She was hot, though. They got a picture up of, apparently they only have two models, because I went to the gallery and I was looking at it, and they have the blonde chick, and not the best I've ever seen, you know what I'm saying? But, and they also have a dude. He's called Harry Hard Drive and Susie Software. You can't make this stuff up, man.
One is based off of Cindy Crawford. The other one based off of Britney Spears.
Yes.
Sadly, the Britney Spears one still has a few bugs.
Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, they have video of Susie with a sausage. And that's, you know, I can talk about on the show. But it brings up a good point here. Pornographic, you've always... And this is kind of paranormal, guys. Bear with us here. I'm getting to it. But it's sci-fi. Right?
That's right. We discussed sci-fi as well.
Don't you think Captain Kirk had one of these, or Han Solo in the Millennium
Falcon?
Hey,
talk about life imitating art there, Sean. Hasn't Star Trek just about you know, half of our science today is just Star Trek coming to life.
I don't know. So pretty soon, these robot sex dolls will be getting half your paycheck.
No, you may not take the entire G&D budget and order a robot sex doll.
I don't think that would cover the phone call to the sex doll company. But I think it's toll-free. It might. But anyway, Susie Software and Harry Hard Drive, guys. Go check it out. Sexbots.us.
We'll have to give that number a test. Make sure nothing's said on it that might get us in trouble there, Sean. And maybe if it's a toll-free call, give it a call next week.
Yeah, put in your name or your email address, guys. They want to request things. It says contact. They want your name and all that. Don't do that. But it does have a number to call.
If you get a human-sized box in the mail, don't let your wife see it.
No, here's the crazy thing. Welcome to the world of sex bots. Here you will be introduced to a lifelike and life-size adult sex robot. I got to watch what I read here. Designed as an adult sex toy as well as sexual companion. Sex bots are a result of several years of research and development. I bet. A lot of research.
A lot of development.
And specially engineered movements. Okay, so for countless hours of testing and I'm sure fun. But
they had to make sure that the wrists and elbows
check this out.
Heavy duty.
That's what I want to know. I got to see one of these things to see what they can do. I mean, is the head moved? Does she go,
The knees do the knees have extra padding built in?
I don't know. It says at the very bottom, finally, and this is what got me, Nathan. Shadow Nation, you listen to this. Sex bots are now available. Get ready. For rent or sale.
I would not rent one.
Can you believe this?
Do not rent a sex bot.
Oh, man. Can you believe this? For rent or sell? So I went to the rental page. Because like you said, we're on a budget. And I looked at, it says, just imagine the reaction that Harry and Susie would generate at your next event. So maybe we should hire them for the G&D, you know, staff party. I don't know. Be a small staff. Let's see here. I get it small. Anyway, Susie Software and Harry Hard Drive are available for special events, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, gentlemen's club, private parties, social gatherings. You guys are in that weird stuff. I don't
see. We've talked before, Sean, about how mechanizing the workplace is taking jobs away from your everyday folk. Yeah. Now they're going to replace exotic dancers with Susie Softwares. And, you know, there goes all of the college money for all those young girls trying to work their way through medical and law school.
I don't know. Here's rental fees. What do you think the rental fees are per hour? Per hour.
Per hour?
Per
it's
hour.
By the hour?
By the hour. And how could they tell you? They'd have to ship it to you. Right?
Well, it's got a,
must have like a
mechanism
taxi.
Inside. It's got a chronograph inside. It just
once the
time.
Seal's broken. Once the seal's popped. Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, rental fees are, what would you think for an hour? We'll say take it up to within, not 500, but it's under 500. Let's just say that. It's under 500.
Okay, let's say 400.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Wrong! Rental fees are $300 per hour plus expenses.
Expenses, in case you want to take it out to dinner.
So it's the movies, man. These Star Wars coming up, everything else. 3 hour minimum. They threw that in there. So you have to have a 3 hour minimum. So
it's a $900 fee.
Yeah.
Because most guys would just turn it on, use it for 5 minutes. Right. All right, I've got.
I want to know, do they have like a van that comes and gets Susie Hard Drive or Susie, what was it? Susie Software? Do they come get her afterwards and say, oh, we're here? You walk
they
around.
Must.
Anyway,
they
here's must. Another one. It says, seriously, and it's got it in yellow. It says, to all the critics, if rented for a social gathering, the skin will be cleaned and disinfected. If rented for personal use, you will purchase the skin and keep it. Now, do you think this is real or do you think it's just a gag thing? It has info at sexbots.us or m_mc2006@yahoo.com. They also have phone
number.
You know,
I have been watching a lot of robot developments lately, Sean.
Hey, we could call this number live on the phone, couldn't we? I have the number. We could just hear what answers if it's a machine.
I think we should probably, just for the safety of the show, maybe make that call during the week and play it for people later on.
I seriously doubt it's going to come out, you know. That would be fun, though. You'd call that number. You see, you're not risque. We'll never get, back to Hollywood with your non-risque.
Well, we also just discovered how hard it is to call somebody on this new phone system, Sean.
How hard is it?
Remember, I have to call them before the show to put the phone number in the system.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it, guys. Sex bots. It's not just a thing of the future anymore. It's
the thing of the now.
It's in the now. What do you think about that? Would you, honestly, though, how many chicks out there or dudes that haven't met Miss Right or Mr. Right by now would just say, screw it? Because I know a lot of cats that like their video games. They like to be home. They have online communities, and they don't really know how to, I don't know. I've never had that problem with the ladies, as you know. But
not you, Sean.
The ghost man is a stallion, baby. No, but they actually, a lot of people would prefer this, I think. What do you think?
No.
You can't just say no.
It depends on what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now they have pocket the fleshlights, and that looks like a flashlight. And some guys would prefer that over paying for, dinner and a movie. So I don't know. That's what I've heard anyway.
Least if you buy the iPhone adapted ones, I think you could at least connect it to Siri and have a conversation, right?
I don't know. Hey, did you see? Was you going to say something important there? Because I didn't want to.
No, I never say anything important.
I figured as much. No, but they have the new Star Wars trailer came out. Trailer number 2. And since we weren't
I did all- see that, and it was nice to see Han and Chewie standing in their same position that they were standing in the original movie.
How can you talk about sex dolls and then Han and Chewie in a position right after that? That's disgusting.
That's what she said.
No, it was classic stuff. I love listening to the reaction videos. You ever listen to those? Like watch them on YouTube and the people cry and they scream and
yeah.
Not sure one guy was naked. I'm not sure what he was doing, but yeah. I don't know.
Of course, Han is looking a little grayer there, isn't he?
Yeah, so. I guess. A lot of people say that, but the chicks still dig him, so.
Yeah, women still love him.
Yeah.
Of course, Sean Connery, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
They will always be remembered as the sex star heroes, so the women will watch them and always feel the same.
What did you think about the trailer? I was blown away. I'll just start with that. But I'm a Star Wars fan.
I'm wondering if the line that is at the beginning of the trailer, do you have it queued up so we can at least hear it?
The Force Awakens, right? Let's see here. Yeah. Let's see here. Go ahead. The line?
I think that the line, I'm wondering if that opening line that's at the beginning of the trailer is actually going to be in the movie, or if that's just, something to catch people's attention. Is that just trying to pull us in?
Oh, you mean the line? Well, that was from... maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
Well, yet. The original, the line in the trailer is similar to the line in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
This particular one is changed, though, and you wonder if this line is going to be in the movie or not.
I don't know.
Are we talking about a new Jedi?
I don't know. Okay, well let's do this. Let's tell me what it sounds.
Let's listen to this trailer here,
go,
folks. This is not our. We do not own this trailer. This is a
Disney.
This is owned by Disney and Lucasfilms.
Yeah.
Go on, man. Play it.
All that music.
That's not Tatooine, by the way.
No, down Star Destroyer.
But it's not Tatooine.
No.
The Force is strong in my family.
My father has. Why is he keeping Vader's head?
I have it.
My Nathan has it.
My sister has it.
Hey.
Huh? There you go.
You have that power too.
Yeah, this Christmas. Too far. Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, are we talking about a new Jedi, or are they trying to pull us in, like saying you have that power too?
Right. I think from everything that I've seen, Daisy Ridley. She apparently. Some people are saying that Han Solo and Princess Leia, which I have no problem believing here, they got married.
Okay.
And when people get married, sometimes they make babies.
I've heard that.
So what I'm hearing is, because you see this chick's face and she helps the new stormtrooper up off the ground, the younger broad, they're saying that that's going to be the offspring of Han and Leia. And Luke, Uncle Lukey, is going to be teaching her. And who knows? Some people are saying all kinds of crazy things. Luke's dead this one. Han Solo and Chewie get blown away. Of course, nobody really knows. So
now,
I don't know.
Do we know if... like I said, why is the are they keeping Vader's head?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. We don't even know if that's...
Was that saved by Luke or was that saved by the Sith? And if right. you're a fan of the original Star Wars comic books, which I am, and I've been told that this will not actually follow those comic books, but yeah. Han and Leia did get married, but they had a son.
Really?
They did. They had a son, Anakin Solo.
Okay.
Who later becomes the Emperor.
That name's done oh so much for the family.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it did. So he then becomes the new Emperor, huh? Well, I don't think he would be, I don't think he'd be ready. Well, I guess he would be, since Return of the Jedi, if they had a baby right after that, he could be old enough to be an Emperor now.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, hey. How many emperors, you know, and emperor, and kings and stuff are made king and emperor at young ages around here on Earth?
So but regardless, man, whoever didn't watch that trailer and get cold chills is
because
I remember, yeah, I remember mom and dad taking me to see, well, not The New Hope because I was just born in 75. But I remember seeing Empire Strikes Back in the theater, and definitely remember seeing Return of the Jedi. I remember being there with mom and dad, and you know the cool theater with the loud sounds and the darkness of space. You know when you seen it come on, and then of course Vader comes out and tells that cat opening line. You know the Emperor is not as forgiving as I am, and I just went oh, and that was it. You know, so
I remember Jedi. I read the comic before I saw the movie, and that kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah, see, I never done that. I never read any of the comic books. So maybe I'm not a true fan. I'm a true Star Wars trilogy movie fan.
Well, I have no doubt, Sean, that you could probably beat me in Star Wars trivia.
Oh, yeah? That sounds like a dare.
No,
a challenge.
You could beat me. What do you mean a dare?
But I'd like to take you on. I would like to beat you publicly in front of our listeners of the Shadow Nation.
Well, I do remember, Sean, in 1977, ooh, going to see the very first Star Wars in the drive-in movie theater.
Okay.
And so I got to listen through that tinny box that used to click onto your window on the side.
Best experience ever, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was before you had to turn your radio to the right station to listen to it. But so no stereo, just this tinny box on the side.
Yeah, tin box.
But I also remember sitting in the car for about an hour trying to get into the drive-in theater. Because it was so popular that cars were just lined up and down the road trying
really?
To get into the movie theater. And, of course, all the people who didn't go to the drive-in were stuck in that traffic, too, which made it worse. So
wow. Those
people should have just stayed at home, man. They should have just stayed at home.
I always noticed when I was growing up that it was like the, at least here in Indiana, was the people that went to the drive-in were the ones that couldn't afford the movie theater. It was always a little bit cheaper.
As I remember it, when we went to the drive-in, it was $3 for adults and $1 for kids.
I don't know.
And if you went to the regular theater, it was $4.50 for adults and $1.50 for kids.
Okay.
And that's actually, you know, that's right around the time Star Wars came out. Before that, it was a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
And the drive-in at certain times even let kids in for free. So.
What was the first movie you ever remember seeing on the big screen?
First movie
besides
I
Gone
ever
with the
remember
Wind.
Seeing on the big screen would probably be Disney's re-release of Sleeping Beauty.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't even know. I thought we had the original Sleeping Beauty.
My mother took me to see it. I remember I was a little kid. But Star Wars, I'm pretty sure, was my... Star Wars was probably my first drive-in.
Drive-in, okay. The original, The New Hope.
The New Hope. Well, actually, when it first came out, it didn't say A New Hope.
Okay. All right.
When it was first released, it said it was just called Star Wars.
Right.
And it wasn't until it was re-released that it was called Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Anyway, guys, you have to excuse us. We're huge Star Wars nerds, as
we're
most
geeks.
Of the people that
we're
follow
geeks,
horror. If you follow horror and sci-fi and paranormal stuff, you should all kind of like that, you know, Star Wars thing. I haven't met somebody that's into ghosts, demons, monsters, and aliens,
heard
and not Star Wars.
That, Disney is re-releasing the original Star Wars without all of the extras that Lucas added later.
Yes.
The original Star Wars on high-definition Blu-ray.
Where he ruined it, yeah.
Well, he didn't ruin it. Sean, he just added things he would have added originally if he'd had the budget. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank
Don't
God
ruin
he did
my childhood.
It's like Jaws, you know, they can't change. It'd be like somebody coming out and re-releasing Jaws now with the shark as CGI. You cannot do it, man.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anyway, guys, that's Star Wars. Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation, you know what time it is.
What time is it, Sean?
Well, it's not time for the guest segment, that's for sure. But it is time for G&D Show in the News, guys. It's today's strange news where we provide it each week, and it starts right
now.
I kind of missed my cue there, didn't I?
Well, I was trying, but I didn't know when you were going to end there, man.
It changed.
You kept going and going. And
no, I didn't even start. Usually I say it's always fresh, it's always exciting, but you know.
Yeah, well, fine. Be that way about it if you think. Anyway, hey, folks, that's right. It's time for Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the News. That's when Sean and I read the news right out of the papers because we like the titles, which means we haven't read the news stories already, which means we're going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
When we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's the G&D drinking game. Of course, we do recommend if you are doing anything important this evening, and like driving or talking to your wife or anything that could get you in trouble, don't play the D&D drinking game. And of course, if you do play, please listen responsibly.
Okay, first up to bat, farmer finds prehistoric sea monster on his property. Did you hear about this one?
I did hear about it, but I don't know too much about it.
Our good friends, the Huffington Post, thanks so much for this story. A farmer in Australia recently made a surprising discovery while tending to his land. The gigantic fossilized jaw of a 100-million-year-old sea creature.
Wow.
Maybe it's the Rancor. He wasn't a sea creature, though, was he?
No, he was more like a T-Rex.
Yeah, he was like a T-Rex. Let's see here. Anyway.
More like a Carnotaur.
Yeah, the creature turned out to be an extinct carnivorous marine reptile known as Carnosaurus queenslandicus. Drink up, guys. I burnt that one. Queenslandicus.
Two drinks for that one.
Yeah.
Folks.
I was out poisoning prickly Akia. Drink, guys. And saw some objects shining in the distance. Robert Haken, whose farm is near Neela in Queensland, said in a written statement, "At first glance, I thought they were fossilized mussel shells, so I drove away. 10 minutes later, my curiosity got the better of me, and I turned back. I jumped out of my buggy and cast my eyes upon these enormous piece of bone. I thought to myself..."
Buggy in Queensland. I take it this took place in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. I think I covered that. No, Queensland. Yeah. I thought to myself, my gosh, what have I got? That's what he was quoted as saying. My gosh, what have I got? Anyway.
You lost your place, didn't you?
No, absolutely not. Dr. Timothy Holland, above curator at the Carnosaurus.
Have a drink, folks.
Drink up, guys. Carnosaurus Corner Museum with the fossil fragments that make the complete lower jaw of the Carnosaur, which is, it just looks like a big wishbone, really, with teeth.
That's what I thought, yeah.
When Haken realized he had found something far rarer than old mussel shells, he notified the Queensland-based Corner Museum. The scary thing is that this creature wasn't even an adult when it died, Dr. Timothy Holland, the museum's curator, said in his statement. It still had a lot of growing to do. If that wasn't frightening enough, there are large indentations on each side of the mandible to accommodate enormous overhanging teeth from the upper jaw. I doubt a lot of animals would have escaped the jaws of the Carnosaurus once within biting distance. So are we sure we want to clone the dinosaurs again? Let's think about this, folks.
That's right. There's another Jurassic movie coming out.
Mm-hmm. We didn't cover that one.
That'll be next week.
It'll be next week. Next week's show.
Hey, Sean. Experts say he's solved the mysterious... I didn't even get through the title, Sean. Experts says he solved the mystery of the... here we go.
Paul's drink.
Kabuko?
Yeah.
Kabuka? Volcano and UFO.
Oh!
Okay, so when... I worked so hard
Drake.
Sure I said this word right this morning. I read the title, saw it was in there. I said, I'm going to have to say that like six times during the story, I bet.
Yeah.
All right. When the Kabuko volcano erupted Wednesday after being dormant for 40 years, it threw a lot of ash and smoke into the air. It also may have attracted a UFO.
Okay.
Photos and videos of the blast showing a mysterious glowing craft hovering in midair near the eruption before the disappearance.
Oh, my God.
Before disappearing. Have a drink.
I got to get close to the bell, man. I always forget.
I'm reading. You better stay real close to that bell.
Oh, my God.
Anna Lucia.
To the Batmobile.
Anna Lucia Sid uploaded a video and alleged that the UFO... that she had spotted was on YouTube, describing it as a luminous object near the plume. Have a drink, plume.
You're botching it, brother.
I'm botching it. I set the computer up on the other side of the room, so I'm having trouble reading the news tonight, staying close to the microphone.
Do you need a commercial?
I'm gonna get closer here. captured on the 22nd of April, 2015, she added... Some believe it may have been a drone or police helicopter.
Yeah. Okay.
What is striking, in my opinion, is that how the object remained static and then vanished.
Oh.
Is it an optical illusion? The flying object remains unidentified, but UFO researcher Mark Donato, I got that one right.
Donato!
Believes it is most likely a drone.
Yeah.
Donato of the FX model... Previously created... No, that was right. It just is poorly
waited
typed.
Too long.
Donato of the FX models previously created a UFO drone for the National Geographic special and is chief photo and video analyst for the Mutual UFO Network.
Oh, MUFON.
Yes, we've had them on. When Donato first looked at Sid's video, he considered that it was two sphered objects in question. Mm-hmm. But a simple CGI effect could not be explained.
Okay.
It might have been a simple simple CGI effect, but could not be explained if it was added to the volcano video.
Okay.
But after looking at the other videos of the same eruption, he changed his mind. In the last one...
Erection.
Have a drink. Oh my God, people are going to be drunk tonight. In at least one of these eruptions, you can see what I have identified as a definite drone, Donato told the Huffington Post in an email. It appears to be a Phantom 2 drone based on the lighting pattern.
Goodness.
This drone was created to serve several witnesses. Was captured by several witnesses, and the video definitely defined. Okay, you know what? That's done. That one's done. Go on to the next one.
No, come on. I won't play another. Go ahead. Start it.
No. It's a drone, Sean. We figured out it's a drone.
Inconceivable. Whatever. Okay, you ready for mine?
Go ahead.
I'm doing just as bad, man. Okay, next up tonight, because, you know, guys, each week, if you're just tuning in, we do something that it's an original series that Nathan and I created called Rot Talk.
Rot Talk.
And we do that during the Walking Dead series or season because we're huge Walking Dead fans, like most of you, I'm sure. So this week's story that comes into us was what the zombie apocalypse can teach us on how diseases spread. Thought this was interesting. You think it's interesting?
I think so.
All right. Well, this comes from our friends at the Huffington Post. Once again, thanks so much, guys. The zombie apocalypse is coming. We know that. We've been telling you guys this on the show for I don't know how long. I don't know. Oh, get ready to drink. An epidemiologist it's epidemic and ologist, right? You put ologist.
Yes.
Yeah. Put ologist at the bottom and everything sounds important. For one, are concerned. Rubber baby. When World War Z breaks out and the undead begin their global takeover, we'll all be running for the hills. And according to a group of scientists from Cornell University, oh, we know them, who are studying the mechanics of potential zombie takeover, oh my God, more of our tax money, Demon Hunter. This might be exactly the right idea. Okay, here we go. In modeling a fictional zombie outbreak, the researchers actually had a more serious real-world purpose in mind, investigating the way real diseases outbreaks and spread. The techniques we use to study the zombie model are some of the same techniques used to study real diseases. The Cornell physicist graduate student Alex Alemi, that's right, who worked on the paper, told the Huffington Post, "We hope the paper might serve as a nice introduction to these techniques for people." So they really think this thing might happen. But they also want you to be prepared for washing your hands, apparently. The authors explain...
Bird flu.
Same thing. Anyway, the authors explain that a zombie outbreak in the U.S. might look similar to a large-scale outbreak of a virus such as Ebola. In the zombie simulation, there are four different states: human, infected, zombie, or dead. Or, check that. Human.
Drink.
Human. There's four different states. Human, infected, zombie, or dead zombie.
Ah.
Yeah, get that right. Zombie or dead zombie, which interact and combine with one another in a similar manner to chemical reactions. Let's read on. I can't understand. If there is a zombie outbreak, it is usually assumed to affect all areas at the same time. And some months after the outbreak, you're left with small pockets of survivors, explained by Alemi. That's the guy's name. Let's drink anyway, because I might have messed that up, guys. But in our attempt to model zombies somewhat realistically, it doesn't seem like this is how it would actually go down. So how would the zombie takeover go down, Nathan?
Well, you know how they say we'd all be running for the hills?
Yeah.
I'd already be in the hills with a shotgun keeping everybody away.
Yes.
You might be infected. I ain't letting you near me.
I'd be in the attic. The researchers predict that densely populated cities would be the first to fall, and they'd likely fall quickly. But it could take quite some time for the zombie to penetrate more remote rural areas. Ah, here we go. I'm going to have to hear about you saying this stuff forever now.
That's like, why I'm going to live and you're going to get eaten.
Like the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, you might run up to the hills, but I'll be in the city where the guns and stuff are, so I'd have to run those up to you. So you'd have to let
me. Yeah, because nobody in the hills has guns.
Well, you might find some, but they'd be zombies. They'd eat your brains and they'd shoot you.
It took too long for the disease to get up there. We're fine. You guys are in trouble.
Well, some people say in the woods right now.
Get up back there, up into your attic.
Up there into the mountains right now, you might get shot either way. What makes you think they're going to let you in anyway? The best place to be is as far away from as many people as possible. Since then, you will be unlikely to be near not only the places an outbreak would be likely to begin, but also far away from large swarms of potential zombies. Of course, in our model, we assume that the humans were not moving around. And if everyone flocked to the Rocky Mountains, it wouldn't be safe anymore. But currently, there are not only few people that live there, but few large cities nearby. Their conclusion, you might ask, what was it?
That the zombies are going to get you.
No suspense. If there are enough zombies, we're probably all doomed. Well, thanks for that, guys. That they actually did the report. Cornell University, yeah. Wow. We're all doomed, huh? There's enough zombies. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. You know, maybe the producers of The Walking Dead. I don't know. According to the producers of The Walking Dead, gasoline sitting in a car for 2 years still runs. So it's I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. I had to fire up the lawnmower today, actually.
With gas that was still in it from last year?
No, I drain. I know enough.
See?
I'm enough of a country kid to know to drain. Your public service announcement, guys. Every winter, make sure your lawnmowers and weed eaters are drained of all fuel.
And if you have a motorcycle, either drain the fuel or you can add. And here's the trick. You want to use a stabilizer that is for boats. You want to use a marine stabilizer because the rubber, it will prevent the rubber and plastic hoses from rotting.
Oh, good grief.
See?
Charlie Brown loves your knowledge. It's amazing.
I know.
To us. It is.
All the stupid little things only Nathan knows. That's going to be a segment one day. Stupid little things only Nathan knows.
Should be a... Anyway, I believe that that does it for today's strange news, Nathan.
I hope so, because, boy, I couldn't read another one of those.
Anyway, I hope you guys are good and drunk. You might stick around for the rest of the show. I don't know. Hey, I was wanting to bring up something about Gettysburg. Did you hear about... I was reading an article the other day. I forget where I seen it. Darn my eyes and memory. But Gettysburg, Pennsylvania... Of course, you guys don't know, it was a three-day battle during the Civil War of the States. And the Union ended up winning that one. It was actually the final battle of the Civil War, correct? Yeah?
No. No, the Civil War continued for, I believe, 2 years after that.
Are you sure? Yeah, but they were more battles.
It was the battle that broke the South, because up until then, the South was winning.
You're right. Yeah, the Gettysburg was the final pushback because they were making a run towards the White House from there. And
correct.
That was the only
object. The object was to actually come into Washington after defeating the North's army, and then make a peace offering to the president to separate the Union.
Yeah. Well, in the article I was reading about Gettysburg, because we like Gettysburg, I'm actually staring at a rock right now. That we picked up in Gettysburg, and we actually have some bullets here in the studio that were found.
The Gettysburg Rock.
Yeah, the Gettysburg Rock. We'll have to tell them that story afterwards. It's the cursed Gettysburg Rock.
Yes.
Which we don't say curses too much around this show anymore with the track record we have with those. But anyway, I seen Gettysburg Ghost pop up, and I started looking into it. And apparently the researcher did some kind of, I don't know if the Huffington Post covered it or what. I can't find it. I was trying to look for it now. But they've been doing a research panel down there. They've been researching every weekend going down. And apparently the citizens outside or right around the town of Gettysburg are reporting more paranormal activity in the evenings than ever before.
Really?
Yeah, that they're hearing the gunshots. They're hearing the battles right outside their door. That all this stuff's going on. And the lady that I'll find it, guys, next week. The lady they had interviewed said that she never believed in the paranormal stuff before, but she does now. And there is some researcher from the college there, the Gettysburg College, teaching college, where he says that he's going to put together a team and get to the bottom of it. So best wishes to him. Maybe we should go down there.
When you and I first met, Sean, on the fields of Gettysburg.
Where the show was founded. Yeah.
Where the show was founded. Didn't we catch two EVPs out in Spangler Spring?
Barlow's Knoll.
Well, the first two that we got was Spangler Springs. Those were the two. One of them was a ghost actually laughing at me when I fell into a stream.
For you guys who don't know, they're listening. Those are actual locations you can visit around Gettysburg. Yeah. Go ahead.
We went to Spangler Spring, and there's one where we were walking through a field, and we caught an EVP, and I don't remember what it was, but there was another one where you literally told me to watch out for a stream, and I fell into it.
Yeah.
And then you're laughing, but there's a second voice laughing on the video, or on the audio.
Yeah.
And I still hold a grudge against it. They might have helped defend the Union, or... You know, they were all Americans, but that was pretty mean of them to laugh at me when I fell in that stream.
It was mean. Why are they so mean?
It was November. I was cold.
I don't know. Demon Hunter, you know what time it is now?
What time is that, Sean?
It's time for another G&D Original Series, guys. Legend X G&D Original means Nathan and myself came up with it, where each week we cover the world, or at least the United States, and we try to bring you the latest and greatest in legends, monsters, ghosts, and whatever else is out there. Aliens. I covered monsters already, right?
Yes.
Anyway, this week's Legend X
is the Halfway People.
The Halfway People. I was waiting on you to say that because I lost my page. So. What was this week's legend?
The Halfway People.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Sean, as you know, most weeks we find an article or a story or something we've checked out ourselves and tell people about a legend. This week, I actually found one for you and I to discuss a little bit.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because the Halfway People is one I never knew about. It is an Indian legend. from Canada, actually. We should ask our buddies over at Paranormal A about this one.
Okay, yeah.
But it is a mermaid legend.
Really?
A Native American mermaid legend.
There's a lot of them, man.
Well, I guess so. This one's actually from the Mi'kmaq tribe.
Mi'kmaq.
Mi'kmaq.
Pick-pack, paddywhack. Give your dog a bone, baby.
Yeah. But they're described as a upper half human, lower part fish.
Okay.
And their singing was said to indicate an approaching dark storm.
All right.
And they would, the halfway people would become aggressive during storms, and they could summon the storms. So, you know, it's very similar to European American myths, where the Europeans were coming to America and claimed to see these mermaids. Of course, years later, everybody says that they were seeing dolphins, or they were seeing what are those sea cows down in Florida?
Yeah. I got you.
And but you know, here we are in Canada, the Eastern Canadian area, and they have the same mermaid legends.
Okay.
So what do you think, Sean? You know, we've never given much heed to mermaids, but here we are with the, you know, and mermaids going under several names, everything from, you know, little people, nature spirits, water babies.
Yeah.
You know, which are both mermaids and mer monsters.
Can't you buy some of those at the drugstore and you put the eggs in water and they... What were those? I forget. What was the name of those?
Oh,
Mer people or whatever.
Those were the sea people. Sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys. What
were brine shrimp.
Yeah, that's what you say.
You put the little eggs, and I always expected there to be like, you know, they'd hatch and you'd see the father with the little crown on.
Me too.
He'd be cutting the roast beef for the little kid sea monkey.
They look like sperm, you know, floating in the canal.
Yeah, they were just brine shrimp. They were, and years later, I actually attended a study down at Clemson College where they were breeding brine shrimp.
Okay.
Because they're used for food for other fish and things like that. And I learned a lot about brine shrimp. And you know what? Not one of them cuts a roast beef and serves dinner at a table. And none of them have little sea monkey dogs.
Did they turn like the whole university into one of those sea monkey holders? Remember they had like the different colors and you'd have little magnifying glasses on it?
Two tanks that must have been 200 feet long. And they were breeding brine shrimp in them.
How big do the brine shrimp get? Because mine always died within
a week. Bitty, tiny little things. Now, these were growing much larger than your average brine shrimp because they were. That's what they were testing, was to see how big they could breed them.
Mm-hmm.
But they still little tiny things. And these tanks were just full of brine shrimp.
Well, I would love to see that. Because, like I said, I remember Mom taking me to Woolworths when I was growing up. Or any drugstore, Hooks or whatever was back in the day. And I always wanted to see these things. And they always had them behind the paper. It had the aquarium with the paper. And like you said, the guy cutting the pot roast, the dad with the crown and all the kids and everything. Then you got them. You're like, oh, man, are you kidding me?
I've been gypped.
Yeah, I've been gypped. They look like fungus. You might as well grow mushrooms. You know, you could have more fun with them. Ah,
oh.
If they're the right kind, they would swim around. Once you ate one of them.
Anyway, you would see them wearing the little crowns and cutting the roast beef.
You know, we've always, even when we had our television show and some of the pilots we've worked on since then, we've went out looking for these Native American things because there's Native American runs in both our families and there's a high respect for the Native American population. And a lot of people say superstition with the Native Americans. They say, you know, they're not as smart as we are now. They go off the old world legends.
I say that's, heck, how much older world legends can you get than paganism, Judeo-Christianity?
Right.
You know, it's... Right.
Well, and a lot of that's come from that. Usually it's half, you know, some kind of half-truth. They add a story to something. I mean, most of our medicines and stuff come from these old legends and stuff. So, with the mermaids, because here in Indiana, there's another Native American legend from the, I believe it was the Blackfoot Indians, called the Mud Maids. And they were mermaids, basically, that were found laying around in muddy banks of the rivers. when they would dry
were
out.
Were they wrestling?
No! I wish they were, though. But I don't think these were the type of mermaids you want to see wrestling.
Oh, okay.
They were women in theory, but they had, you know, they had
kind of like our exes.
Yes. Well, I'd much rather go with the mermaid. But anyway, man, I say absolutely there could be something. I mean, we don't even know what roams our own oceans. You know, we're reaching out to space to find out things, but people have said we haven't even traveled to the depths of the ocean and done, you know, done research. Or we have, but not as much as we should. So
we know more about the surface of the moon than we do the deepest parts of the ocean floor.
Quote, end quote. Absolutely. So, I, you know, who knows, man? Who am I to say? Most people are going to throw it right in there with the Bigfoot legends and all the stuff we've covered in the past. The Pudwudgies was one that we've covered. The little people.
But this is one of those things, Sean. Why aren't there more mermaid sightings nowadays? There's tons of Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we've got chupacabra sightings. Heck, we had the chupacabra sighting right here in my own front yard in Connecticut. Oh, yeah. That was when the mail lady wouldn't come out of her truck because she swore that a chupacabra had just run across my lawn.
What was it? What ended up being?
It turned out to be a mangy fox.
Oh, wow.
I tracked it down until I found it. And chupacabra. It was a mangy fox.
A mangy fox. What'd you do with it? Did you house it?
I reported it to Connecticut Wildlife, and they said they would come and set up traps for it. But
so they killed it.
The sad thing is it had such horrible mange, it probably didn't survive the winter.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. Anyway, Demon
but,
Hunter.
But, you know, you get all these land sightings. There's more people traveling out on the water now than there have been in the past. Why aren't we getting more mermaid sightings?
I don't know. Maybe we're traveling too fast. Or maybe the mer people aren't as stupid as what we're, you know, the credit we're giving them here. Maybe they move deeper to the depths. Most likely it's just a legend, but I think it's definitely something I would like to find out. If a mermaid popped up, here's the thing. Everybody says, cannot be. No way. You're foolish. You're crazy. Remember when that documentary came out a couple years back on Discovery? And they had to release a press statement telling people we're sorry. And people were outraged. This was not a real documentary. People believed it. And not everybody, you know, is naive. Not everybody. But some people were thinking, wow, is there something to this? Was there some footage? So people aren't really sure. Like the Bigfoot.
Now, I seem to forget, Sean. The Megalodon story that had the same problem happen.
Yeah.
Did that happen before or after the mermaid story? I think that happened after. And still, people fell for the Megalodon story. They thought there was actually a Megalodon out there.
There's not. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think they should definitely go out there and check that out. I wouldn't say spend more tax dollars on it, but why not? Since they buy toilet seats for the White House for our tax money, why not check out the mer people?
They pay for what did we cover last time? It was how many millions or billions of dollars for housing and entertainment for the president and his family?
Yeah, it was insane for the vacations too.
Yeah, vacations, housing, entertainment, and travel. Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, Shadow Nation, it's about that time, Demon Hunter.
We have to figure out, Sean, are we hunting down a mermaid?
I don't even know how we would start.
I have no clue.
So, you know, unless we can get a submarine and hang around the bottom of the floor, like depths, the Titanic depths, I would say we're going to have to cut that one out.
Well, maybe there's somebody rich listening to our show who wants to donate a submarine.
Yeah, if you're rich, listen to our show. First go to the
Donate a submarine. We'll go look for the halfway people.
The halfway people. We'll bring you back.
The halfway people.
Tonight's guest.
Dun, dun, dun.
We covered it before, guys. Tonight's guest, an American actor, director. He's known for his work on the OC, Smallville, CSI, New York, and most recently, Lifetime's Lizzie Borden Chronicles. Stay tuned tonight because Bradley Stryker stops by studio. He's going to tell us all about it, folks. Get ready.
Get set.
Not go yet. We don't have to go yet. You know,
no?
We're right there on that. Anyway, guys, each week we support, we know, we love independent bands. This week's independent band is the Stampede String Band out of Indiana. The name of the song is The Only Cure Is You. Shadow Nation, Demon Hunter,
Ghost Man.
We'll be right back.
It sure does get cold when the sun goes down. Silver moon brings my five from the earth. I need five for my fingers, whiskey for my mind, for my soul. Only one thing will do, Lord, Lord, for my soul, not but one thing. It is burned into my eyes. Her whisper is the wind song in my ear. I need flesh for my fingers, whiskey for my mind, for my soul. Only one thing will do, Lord, Lord, for my soul. Soul, only one thing will do, Lord, Lord, for my soul, not but one thing will do. I need five for my fingers, whiskey for my mind, for my soul, only one thing will do, Lord, Lord, for my soul, the only cure is you.
This is William B. Davis, the actor from The X-Files at Continuum. My autobiography is Where There's Smoke, and you're listening to Ghost Man and the Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Hey, Tonight's guest, he's an American actor and director. He's best known for his work on the Fox television series The O.C., Smallville, CSI New York, and most recently, Lifetime smash hit The Lizzie Borden Chronicles. Tonight, help us welcome actor-director Bradley Stryker to studio. Bradley, what's going on, buddy?
How are you, bro? That's a good intro. I like it.
I'm out of breath now. You guys, I was so...
Hey, Bradley, we may have to ask the in-between phone there to go from speakerphone to regular because it does sound like we're getting an echo. I hope she's listening.
Can you hear that? In-between phone?
There we go.
Hello, Miss In-Between Phone. So what's going on, Bradley? I mean, you're out there, dude. You're doing the Hollywood thing. You've been doing it forever. Thank you, sir, so much for taking the time to come on our show tonight. You're becoming America's bad boy here. You're doing all these bad things. How did you get started in it, man?
Oh, yeah, that's so funny. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Well, you know, I don't know how I became the quote unquote bad guy. My mother asked that question a lot. she wants to know why I don't play good guys. But yeah. I don't know. I think more than anything else, it's just that I kind of figured out that when you play a bad guy, being quote unquote like, oh, I'm the bad guy, you should find out what's underneath it, right? And then it becomes very interesting.
True. Kind of like a Darth Vader thing. Yeah, everybody wanted to know.
Well, I think it's more like, you know, what makes a bad guy interesting is what's underneath the surface. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what made him that way?
Right.
Well, then it becomes interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. You've done so much, man. You've done Supernatural. You've done Smallville. I mean, you're working with Christina on the Lizzie Borden Chronicles. You did. Well, first, let's start with, because I got these questions boiling in my head, and my ADD is getting ready to kick in. You're going to go, dude, are you serious? I can't track. So anyway, Lizzie Borden Chronicles, man, to get ready for that, because I was stoked about that. I seen you. You were a gangster type, just a bad, bad man, and you played it so well. How did you prepare for that role? Did you get in tune with the actual story of Lizzie Borden? How did all that take place?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you do the research on her, on Lizzie Borden, and, you know, the information that's out there, and I watched the Lifetime movie that they made to kind of see the story they told. So I did all that, but then I'm very aware that now we're stepping into a fictionalized account of, you know, like, let's have some fun now and see what would have happened next sort of situation.
Right.
It for me, there's a couple things, and the main thing for me when it comes to Skipjack was just... we're walking into a new series and you've got what's on the page in front of you, but it becomes a game about going, okay, well, what is this guy really all about? And on the page, he was written a bit like a brute,
right?
You know, like a kind of a force to be reckoned with. And what I found interesting about that is I was on set for about a half a day and I was just kind of watching people work, and I had already read the script, so I had my thoughts on things. And I found it interesting because I thought, you know, Cole's actually, you know, the Cole Hauser, the part of Siringo, is actually more of the brute, more of the bulldog sort of guy.
Yeah.
So I figured out real quick, and this is what I was lucky, because I got to be around set before I'd actually started working myself. And so the first night, well, I do a lot of homework as an actor anyway, so I've already done all my homework on figuring out who this guy is, where he comes from, what happened to him in his life to lead him to this moment, you know? And the first night before, I was working on it with my wife and on Skype, and I kind of felt like I kind of had it, but I didn't quite feel there's something missing in it. I remember 3:57 a.m., I woke up, and I go, oh, my God, I figured out this guy's a snake. He's really slimy. And I got up, and I'm not kidding. I started walking around my hotel room trying to figure out what a snake walks like. And everything became very easy once I figured out that he doesn't really stand up very straight.
Right.
It's kind of a funny way in. But, yeah, I mean, all the other work had been done on the character work on who he is. But then when I figured that out, I was like, oh, okay, so he's that guy. He's really slimy. He'll do anything to get what he wants, literally anything.
Right.
And then, you know, you go back and read the material, and the writers have already written it that way anyway.
So you had it, baby. You were a chew-in.
Now, are you ever afraid? Are you ever afraid, Bradley, that you're going to get this be kind of typed in this thing so that people see a movie's coming out and they're like, "Oh, Bradley's in this one. He did it." He's the murderer.
I didn't think about that. I don't want anybody listening to you now. No, yes and no. Who's to say? Because now what you've just done is now I'm the perfect good guy because everybody's going to be looking at me going, "Who did it?" Not anymore.
Pin it on Bradley.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't really get caught up in that sort of thing. For me, what it is it's more about, I like to play interesting characters. And to be honest, I'm better at playing characters that are really, really complex because I like to do homework.
Right.
So the two go hand in hand. And quite often because I don't fit a typical, sort of, I've worked with a lot of people and I've worked with a lot of people in the industry and everybody kind of understands that I'm a little bit left of center as people. and what they mean by that is like, there's always some sort of question about what's really going on with you. And so I think, being a filmmaker, if I was to look at myself, I would just step back and go, well, yeah, I mean, it's fun to cast me as somebody who's on the fringe that plays the bad guy, that is the killer.
Right.
Because there's something wrong, there's something a little off, but we don't know. We're not 100%, But so do I get worried about being typecast? I don't know. What are you going to do? There's enough material out there. I don't think so. I just played a politician, right?
Right. I was going to say, they haven't typecast you yet, man. You've done a little bit of everything. There's no way.
That's right. Well, I didn't think of, if you think of the first episode of Supernatural I did, I wasn't a bad guy. I was a victim. I got stabbed in the eye.
Yeah.
By that crazy chick living in the walls. I was a good guy.
So how is that crazy chick living in the walls? She was pretty attractive, Kid.
She was an inbred monster, gotta be honest, Sean. Like, what are you talking about?
I got to be honest. When I was shooting that, I hadn't seen the kids that lived in the walls. I was just working and we're going about our business. And one day we were shooting one scene and they were in a rush. That happens in TV and they were getting ready to shoot something a little bit away from this house that's kind of very remote. And so there's a field out there with this long grass. And I'm having a conversation with somebody drinking a cup of coffee and I look out in the long grass and one of those kids was standing out in the grass and they're fully makeup done and pale and the whole thing. And they were just out there walking around. I had no idea they were out there and I gotta be like, this scared me.
You're like, I shouldn't have done those shrooms, man. Yeah, that'd trip you out, dude. That'd trip you out. But hey.
It's that feeling you get when you walk into a room and nobody's supposed to be in there and you turn on the light and there's just somebody sitting in the dark and you're like,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like.
But, you grew up Seattle, Washington. You're a baby of the 70s, late 70s, early 80s there. So you grew up out there. What inspired, because, like Nathan was saying, you definitely do all kinds of roles, but you seem to really favor horror, sci-fi, the comic realm. How did you grow up? What was life like for little Bradley Stryker when you were a kid?
Well, and that's funny because, when I was younger, I might have made up a story about some exciting sort of thing. But pretty typical suburban, kind of growing up, childhood was pretty normal. I mean, I played a ton of sports and did all that. I think Seattle, it rains a lot.
Yeah.
People think about that and then they go, and the question I typically feel is, oh my God, is everybody really killing themselves in Seattle? No.
That's Portland.
That's
Portland.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all dead in Portland. Our ratings are terrible there because everybody's already, hanged themselves, but...
Well, it's pretty typical upbringing, to be completely honest. How I fall into a lot more of the horror stuff, I don't know. That's just the stuff that I get hired for.
Right.
I have no problem with it, though, because I actually really enjoy it. There's a lot of very complex characters.
Yeah.
Typically, there's not a lot of characters that are, that are surfaced. Everybody seems to have a secret in horror, right?
Right.
And so it makes it a lot more interesting to play. And again, I think the short answer to this long question, it could really simply be that, like I said, I'm left of center.
Right.
So if you watch, as a filmmaker, if I watch enough horror films, I realize that you know, if you have those kind of people who there's something a little bit off with them, it just it makes the genre more fun.
That guy.
Now, yes. Has being a character aimed at these horror films, has it ruined horror movies for you? If you go to a horror movie now, do you just sit there and go,
that's fake.
You know, that's fake. I can't watch this.
No, you know what actually changed horror for me is that I'm a filmmaker, and I'm finishing my first feature. It's called Land of Smiles, and it's a thriller horror film.
Yeah.
And when I'd already written a couple of horror films, and so when I was in the process of writing this one and realizing it was going to be something I was going to make, I had to watch every horror film I could get my hands on. Right. And so I started watching all of them. And over the process of watching about 150 horror films in about 9 months, what happened then was the genre didn't really get me anymore, because I already knew. So there were certain movies that when they happened, I would be like, whoa, this guy's still scaring me. I was very impressed with certain people. But in general, I started to break down the movie and go, I'd be like, oh, okay, right now this is going to happen. Oh, there it was. Perfect. Okay, what's next? You know?
Right.
Because structurally, I think becoming a filmmaker more than anything else ruined it for me, because I could just tell you structurally, I was like, okay, this is going to happen in the next 3 minutes. There it is. Okay, good. Moving on to the next point now.
Right.
But not so much in the acting. It was more of the breaking it down from a filmmaking standpoint that I started to really understand the genre, understand what works. And then there's also, become really impressed with certain people that make films as well.
Right. Now, you've had a long career, and your career is far from over in doing television projects. And then all of a sudden in 2006, mm-hmm. it looks like in 2006, that's when you bust loose on the silver screen. Can you tell us about that with the, was it the Tillamook legend?
Tillamook Treasure is a family movie, actually.
Yeah, it was based on a legend, though, a Native American.
It's based on a what?
The Native American treasure or something. It was a legend like that, right?
It was. I mean, that was part of the story. Yes.
Yeah.
That was an interesting movie for me because I grew up on the Oregon coast with my family and coast.
Yeah.
So I found myself standing on beaches I would visit as a kid and, filming something. It became very cool. In general, though, being an actor, I think, only certain people get to kind of choose the medium they play in, right? And for the rest of us, you take work when it comes. And the cool thing is TV has grown a lot in the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so what we've seen now is depending on who you talk to, generally speaking, most people say, hey, the best writers are in TV now. Well, that's probably because there's, almost 200 scripted TV shows now?
Absolutely.
And so the gap between, doing a film versus doing TV is not what it used to be. It used to be a big difference, big creatively. There was a big difference between working on one or the other. Working on Tillamook Treasure was a blast, but that was because I was working with really good people. Right. And I got to, work in some really cool places. But in general, I think everything's changed. And so sometimes you'll be working on a TV show. Like, I'm Lizzie Borden. I mean, I had a blast. We're up in Halifax, Canada, which I'd never been to. I mean, I didn't know there was a place that was a half an hour ahead, time zone-wise, from the East Coast of the United States. I didn't know that existed. And so I found myself there, and I was in this place, and I was like, wow, this feels a lot like working on a movie, because we did so many exteriors, and, you step onto certain sets, and it's like, okay, I get the tone of what we're doing, now let's just show shooting.
Oh, they were amazing.
Because the setting itself takes care of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tell you what, man, the television shows that you've been a part of, this Lizzie Borden Chronicles was amazing. I mean, just everything, the cool. Set, the props, the feels, the way you delivered your character. I mean, everything had me glued to it. I mean, you just can't miss an episode. If you guys, listeners, Shadow Nation, if you haven't watched this, it's not on Netflix yet, but you could definitely got to check it out, man.
Is there like one episode on Netflix, Sean? Because I think that's where I saw it.
Well, that's what Bradley was talking about that he watched before he actually did the Chronicles. They did Lizzie Borden Had an Axe. It was a short documentary, right, Bradley?
It was actually like a movie of the week with Christina in it. And you know where you can watch the episodes, too? You can go to Lifetime.com, and after it airs tonight at baseball in like an hour and 40 minutes on the East Coast, but at 10 o'clock. But you can always watch it on the Lifetime website, which is cool. So
but you,
you
hear that
episode that night.
You hear that, Shadow Nation? You don't have to wait for Walking Dead. You can go and watch this now. You can watch the Lizzie Borden Chronicles. Catch up on the shows. And after our show every week, you can watch the Lizzie Borden Chronicles.
And listen, I think it's worth a watch just based on the simple fact that, like, I love what they're doing with the crazy special effects blood spatter and the music.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Punching it up. It's really cool.
I love how they use that modern music and they put it in the old 1800s type town. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's very Tarantino of them, isn't it?
Very
rock. I'm waiting for some rap to be dropped in.
Drop some P. Diddy on it. But, you know, I was going to ask you, because you're a filmmaker, you got all this stuff going on. Do you think, if you had to decide, if somebody came in today and said, hey, Bradley, you can either be a director or an actor, what do you think you'd pick?
That's such a loaded question, right? Like, the thing for me is that they feed each other.
Right.
So it's like writing, directing, this is the thing, right? So when I was acting, just acting, I'd be like, I remember I was working on a show, Stargate Universe years ago. And when you're on set and you're working, it's great, but there's a lot of in-between time. And I would just crawl the walls. I'd get really bored.
Yeah.
And I'd read books and take naps. We can only do so much of that. Flash forward to about 2 years later, I'd started making films and I was working on Smallville. And my trailer was set up as a production, basically as my production office, because I was shooting a short film that weekend. So I'm in my office on the phone, making phone calls, doing things, getting camera equipment, doing the whole thing. They'd be like, Bradley, we need you on set. I'd be like, okay, perfect. I'd set it down and then I'd fall into dead shot on my walk over to set. You know, I'd do my dead shot thing, we'd be done, and then I'd jump back over to my trailer. So the thing, the answer is like, I wouldn't, if somebody told me that I had to choose, I would, you know, put earplugs in and run away, because I need both. Because they feed each other too. You know, I'll be sitting and writing, like every day I sit and write. Because screenwriting is a love of mine, and every day I become a better actor because of my writing.
Sure.
And then every set I step on as an actor and I get involved in the scene, I'm in the middle of something, it then feeds my writing, and then it all feeds my directing. And, you know, I really, really love directing because I also really love actors, and I love working with actors, and I love finding a way to pull the best performance out of an actor. Almost, you know, there's a game to it, and to get them to do things that they didn't know they could do that's one of my favorite things in the world.
Have you ever had to work with an actor that was challenging for you? Well, I said Tal now.
Well, you know, on my film that I'm finishing right now, Land of Smiles, we shot 3 weeks in Thailand. And we shot 3 weeks in Thailand, and my idea for the film was that I wanted to take my actors in, basically, I wanted to take them on the journey that the characters were going to go on.
Right.
And what the film is about is a girl goes to Thailand, her best friend gets kidnapped, and the guy who kidnaps her best friend plays a game with her, which is a little hide and seek to see if she can find her friend.
Right.
And so what he does is he leads her through the country of Thailand playing this game with her. And the whole time she doesn't know if it's really happening or not. And there's a lot of other things that are happening. Yeah. Well, I wanted my actors to be able to do it piece at a time. And so, you know, you take a cast and crew to a place like Thailand. Now, I don't know if either of you guys have ever been, but there's a lot of fun to be had in Thailand.
So, I've heard stories.
I think the challenge was just keeping everybody focused.
Yeah.
You know, we had one day where there's one day where I was like, okay, you know, we're going to stop early today. You guys have been working really hard. Go have some fun. Well, those were, that was music to their ears.
Right.
And then the next day for me at 9 a.m., it was rather hilarious.
Right.
Because everybody went out.
Director's the only one on set. Yeah. Call everybody. Hey, well, listen.
Don't get me wrong. I went out with them, but I didn't.
You took those hangover pills before you started drinking. No, but, you know, we had a television show back in 2010, Nathan and I did, and I was going to tell you, since you're a director, hey, we got this real cool pitch for you. Now, listen, Bradley, the two guys, you're giving guys days off.
Dude,
I want
I
you to
it.
Direct me, man.
Well, it's funny too, because like Sean was saying, we've dealt with like the divas on set and things like that, but we also get guests who are like that, who are like, well, it has to be like this, and we have to do this, and we have to do this.
Yeah, Bradley.
And it sometimes makes it very, and then there's me. People always say, you know, you're not really as sarcastic and rude as you are on the radio, are you? And I'm like, no, that's me.
Yeah.
But we want to communicate with people and know the real them. And so when you're out on a set and you're filming and people are enjoying your work, I think that really rolls over into the product when it's all done, and the viewer can enjoy it more because you had so much fun with it.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in it's the top down, right?
Yeah.
So the people at the top decide the mood of everybody else. And like Lizzie Borden, for example, I think in general, everybody had a good time. And part of that is because the executive producers that were on set were fabulous. They were just really, really good people. And the actors, too, at the top. And this is the thing that the whole world, you know, needs to kind of wrap their heads around is when people become, like, super famous as actors, or they become a name, or they become somebody that can't walk down the street anymore, life becomes different.
Yeah.
So it's not that these people are rude or these people. The problem is that everybody wants something from these people.
Yeah.
So life is just different. They're not treated the same as the rest of us, you know, so their behavior is going to be different. And so I always, you know, it takes a minute to learn, you know, to meet any celebrity. Even when I'm working with them, it takes a minute for the wall to kind of come down a little bit. And the reason for that is because they have to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Too many people have tried to take advantage of them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And then there's some people are jack-offs.
Yeah, I would say that we had a really good time. You know, on Lizzie Borden, the thing that was crazy, we shot all the way up until December 23rd.
Wow.
And so, I mean, people were like, it was crazy. It was because we were getting it done. We were getting the first six episodes done before Christmas. And so you were in a crunch. And you knew you were in a crunch. And there was some wild stuff that happened, right? You get in a crunch and you do a scene as quickly as possible. And it was, sometimes I think we work better under those circumstances.
Yeah.
Trial by fire, right? Everybody go. And you have no idea what you got at the end of the day.
Right.
And sometimes those scenes are really electric.
How much time do you get to read the script? Like when they're doing that, go. Do you get a couple nights before? Or?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I mean, a lot of times you're rewriting stuff on as you go on set.
Right.
And there was a couple instances with this particular show where we had to kind of run through some scenes, and logistically things weren't working the way they were scripted or whatever. And so we would, as a group, the director, the producers, the actors, we would take the scene and really just kind of roll with it and figure out what worked, and, you know, and you're doing it on your feet.
Right.
And you're filming it 10 seconds later. So it's, you gotta, you know, this is the reason why the quote unquote, the acting game isn't super easy, is that you have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You have to be able to show up going, okay, this is the scene I'm shooting. And over the course of 10 minutes, realize you're not shooting that scene at all. All your dialogue's changed, and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah.
That was the important lesson Sean and I learned. When the director tells you to do something, just do it.
Yeah. Shut up.
Just do it. Don't argue it. Just do it.
We know the rules.
If it doesn't
Brad.
Work, he'll tell you.
Yeah. See,
yeah. Well, because you all want the same thing, right? You want a good result.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the hard part, though. There is a lot of trust. There's a lot of surrendering and just hoping it works out, which is sometimes dangerous.
Bradley, I know we're running short on time, brother, but our fans would die, and they would kill us if I don't ask you about Deadshot. Because in 2010, of course, on Smallville, you portrayed the DC yep. Comics, one of the greatest villains, Deadshot. And with everything going on now, the new Batman versus Superman trailer leaked out. Everybody's talking about that. And the way you brought Deadshot home, dude, like just a, you know, just a bad, bad man. How did you prepare for something like that? And is there any possibility of seeing you? Well, I guess you can't say, can you? Or, you know, how does that work when you've already owned this character, which you did on Smallville? When they have open mm-hmm. casting, if this ever comes up in the future, are you going to go?
Well, I mean, the answer would be yes, but then the other answer would be Smallville's gone. You know, Smallville's done.
Yeah, but Superman's back.
You're right. You never know. This is the thing. Like, Deadshot's like all these other characters I was talking about when we started this, which is, you know, it's not about, like, he's a bad guy.
Right.
The thing I figured out before I even auditioned for it, I go, okay, so this guy's got a huge chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with pen and paper and I said, okay, wait a minute. Let's figure out why he is this way. And when I figure out all the very personal reasons why he likes to completely dominate and roll people over, you know, I was like, wow, okay, this guy really had a hard life. And then I step in, you know, into the wardrobe and I'm doing Smallville and all you know is that I really enjoy tormenting people. You know, you know.
Yeah. Well, how many people can say
I've
that?
I've got to ask this, man. So, because it's important. It's important. Do you think Lizzie did it?
Do I think Lizzie did it? Well, I mean, the show's answering that question for you, isn't it?
Yeah. he's trying to get spoilers.
I think it's more interesting not to know. I think it's more interesting to say, well, I mean, she could be guilty. She could not be guilty. I think part of the intrigue for her definitely is that, you know, she was, one of the first female, quote unquote, serial killers.
Yeah.
Is the idea, which is why we're all so fascinated. I would need to do a lot of research to be able to give you and your audience the educated answer. Right now, all of my research is more entertainment oriented and every time he did it.
Talking about research and stuff like that about a character, why do you think a character like that, like Lizzie, she's accused of killing her family, she's tried, she's, you know, she's let go. Why does she stay in town? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she leave?
My first answer to that is, isn't that the ultimate power trip? You know what I mean? Like, I got away with it. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Isn't that fun to sit and smile? Like, if you are that person and you're a little twisted in such a way and you did do something and you really enjoy the power of the situation you're in, wouldn't it be fun to stay in that little town, you know, sit on your little porch and just smile as people walk by?
Hello.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be the only reason I can think of, because logically the rest of us are like, dude, I'm on a train and I'm headed to, you know, the gold rush or something. I'm right. Not hanging out there. You could enjoy it.
Well, I tell you, Bradley, I know we're running out of time, bro, and we're going to close out the show here in just 1 second. But I want to ask you, what is next for the strike man, the striker? What's going to happen here? I know you got some projects.
The strike man. I like that, strike man. One of my basketball coaches used to call me that. what's next for me right now is I'm finishing Land of Smiles right now. And then we're going to go through the process of selling, marketing, festival, the whole deal with the film. So that'll be the next big thing for me because that's a big time consumer. Yeah. And, you know, then it's just, you know, I'm always in the acting game. I'm always doing my thing. So the next job that'll come my way will come my way. But ultimately, the film's what's dominating my life right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thanks so much for coming on tonight. Could you stay on the line 1 second while we pay the bills, brother?
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, great. Man. All right, Nathan, you want to pay these bills?
I guess we have to.
Oh, well, I guess so. Somebody's got to do it. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us tonight. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening to them? Because they want to know, so check them out at actionaudioapps.com, Midnight Syndicate, Creative Commons, and Free Music Archives, and the Stampede String Band. Thanks for the tunes from the haunted backroads of America. This has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter?
Because we love you.
Night, guys.